Morning, everyone. Seems like we just did this not too long ago. Good to see you. I would have liked if you'd have had more warm weather for me when I got here. I mean, tomorrow, okay, good. But it's good to be back. We're going to have all week with you again, like last time, and so we're excited. And I have things in my heart, but I don't just want, you know, we want what God wants. So let's believe God together for utterance and direction, and then we'll be seated. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we're so grateful for the blessings and benefits of the covenant we're in. And thank you, Father, that we have access to come to the throne of grace. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that makes us worthy. And we come this morning, we come hungry, we come to receive. And Father, we thank you that as we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we'll be filled. And everything, Father God, that you plan for this week, we just say it'll all come to pass. All the utterance that is needed this week, it'll all come out. And all the answers that we need and all the direction that we need, it'll come in Jesus' name. And Father God, we just covenant with you to follow you and to yield to your Spirit. And thank you, Father, for each one of these students and the plan that you have for them this week. And we just thank you that it'll all come to pass in Jesus' name. We thank you for utterance. We thank you, Father, for boldness to speak the truth in love. And we give you all the praise for all the good things that happened this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, greet your neighbor and tell them we're excited again for another good week of Bible school. Praise the Lord. We have several things rolling around in our hearts to get into this week. Oh, I forgot to ask, did Dean step out? Okay, I just wanted to know if maybe this week, I don't know, I can ask later maybe, but would it be okay if we just take one break, take like an hour and a half, take one break, and then where do you need to... Whatever we want to do. Maybe we'll do that sometimes, just see how the unction's flowing. And all right. So, but like I said, I've got some things stirring around on the inside of me. But really genuinely, I don't have to stay with just what I think. I want what God wants. So being that we have a week of time, we have some time that we can delve into maybe some different things. We'll see how the Lord leads us. But I came here with some things on my heart about the subject of faith. Now, I know you've never heard anything about faith, but it seems like this morning we're going to start in a little different direction and then be hitting some things about faith maybe in some future days. We'll just see how the Lord directs us. But I suppose the best place to go to start this morning would be over in the book of Matthew. And I believe that if we start here, it'll come out right. Let's get started in the right direction. Like I said, I've got some things in my heart about faith and particularly about the spirit of faith. And what that is, and how important it is for us to walk in the spirit of faith. but in some respects, what we're going to get into this morning is going to sort of be in regards to using our faith to fulfill the plan of God, because faith isn't just for healing and our needs met. Those things are necessary and those things are important, but faith is really to fulfill God's will for our lives, if it's ministry, if it's something else. Ultimately, if we have our needs met and we were healthy but didn't fulfill the plan of God, well, we're going to have to stand before the throne of grace and give account for that. So ultimately, our faith is to fulfill the plan of God. And so we're going to look at that a little bit this morning and how we must use our faith for that. And really just kind of talk about using our faith to find out what the plan of God is. Because, I mean, how can you fulfill it if you don't know what it is? And so God's given us the means whereby we can know his plan for our lives. Now, I'm talking about individually for our unique lives, and because we all have a unique course that God wants us to run. But yet, right on the other hand, whatever God's unique plan for our individual lives is, it's going to feed into the overall plan he has for this end time era. And we have a supply, whatever the plan of God for our life is, we have that'll bring a supply to this end time era, to his, you might say, his overarching plan for this time. God in here in well let's just say this before we get into did I tell you even where to go? Matthew. Did I tell you which chapter? You're supposed to know that. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. We will look at some things from a few different angles here and just kind of share as the Lord leads us. But in this passage here in Matthew chapter number 13, we find Peter. This is a story where Peter walked on the water. Why is it not coming out here? This is not the story of Peter on the water. Go to Matthew chapter number 14, is it? Yeah, Matthew 14. Matthew 14 says that this is the story of Peter walking on the water. But what happened here is because we know that Jesus talked to him about sinking because of his unbelief, his lack of faith. And so we know that the way he was walking on the water there briefly was by faith. But I want you to see what something that happened here. Let's go back. Let's just kind of read the whole story. In the verse number 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Because remember, Jesus had sent the disciples to go to the other side, and he was going to come later. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, but the wind was contrary. How many of you know that? Let's go back to verse 22. I'm trying to save some time, but I got to back up. Go back to verse number 22. Let's catch the whole story. In verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And the Bible says, when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. What I wanted you to see in verse 22 is they weren't just out there in the boat just, you know, because they were having a leisure cruise or something. This was a direction from Jesus. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him to the other side. So this was a leading, you might say, or direction of the Lord to get take the boat and get to the other side. And that's when we pick up in verse 24, it was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Have you ever started out to do what God told you to do or what God spoke to your heart about and something started opposing you? Well, now you know what faith is for. It's to continue to do what he told you to do and get to the other side. And so, remember, Dr. Dufresne used to always say, we're going to the other side. That's where he got this. And the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out. We'd say it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And we know the story. He saw the wind boisterous and was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. So he wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on faith. He's walking on the word. And so and he cried when he started sinking, saying, Lord, save me. And Jesus, in verse 31, immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And so we know this story, but I'm going to pull a verse out of this morning that I never really thought much about, and that is verse 28, where Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." So Jesus instructed them to take the boat and go to the other side. And then, of course, they saw him walking on the sea. They were afraid, thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, "No, it's me." And then Jesus and Peter asked permission to launch out into walking on the water, to come unto him, to come to Jesus on the water. And what I want you to see here is this was a walk of faith that Peter was going to walk, but he didn't just suppose or presume to take an adventure in faith just because he pulled it out of his head that he was going to do this and believe God. You understand what I'm talking about? So what Peter was asking was as if he could step out into a faith endeavor. You see that? You cannot, when it comes to faith, faith is not just pulling something out of the air and deciding, "I'm going to believe this." Now, and that's, sometimes people try to do that, but real faith has something under it. Real faith has the Word of God under it. Real faith has heard Jesus speak or Jesus say, "Come." It has heard God say something. And like somebody said one time, faith is stepping out over the aching void with nothing under it except the Word of God. There's got to be, "Thus saith the Lord," under what you're walking on. Faith is not just pulling something out of the air and saying, "I'm going to believe this," or "I'm going to do this." And so what we see here is Peter, when it came to walking on the water, he didn't just presume to do that. And you can see in the Bible, which we'll look at this morning, you can see people that presume to do something without a "Thus saith the Lord." And they failed miserably, crashed and burned. Because it was just them, you know, presuming to do something, and rather than hearing the Lord speak to them to do what they did. And so Peter was asking if he could really, if he could come out into a faith endeavor. Really, when it comes to faith or the spirit of faith, it's only possible by hearing from God. People sometimes say, "Well, I'm just going to believe that I'm gonna start this business, or I'm gonna go into this ministry, or I'm gonna so forth and so on." Really, without hearing from God, you're really not pleasing Him there. No matter how good whatever you're doing is, it might be very noble, it might be very honorable, it might be very, I mean, by people, but it might be something that other people say is just wonderful what you're doing, but unless God spoke to you, it will be, as the Bible says, it'll be, you know, because in the last days, the Bible talks about there'll be, everything will be tried by fire, and some things will be burned up, such as wood, hay, and stubble. Some things will, he said, be purified, like gold and silver and so forth. That's over in 1 Corinthians 3. So what we want to be doing is God's plan for our life. And that requires hearing from God. And so really, the only way faith is possible is if you do hear from God. Now, these are things we understand, but we're going to take some time and really get into a facet of this morning. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But there's some things, to be honest with you, that you don't have scripture and verse for, "Thus saith the Lord." You didn't have a scripture or a verse that said, "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt attend World Harvest Bible Training Center in 2018-19 school year." You had to ascertain that between you and God. Isn't that right? And you had to, it took some time seeking Him, talking to in your prayer times and fellowshipping with Him and getting that plan clear in your own spirit. And once you knew what He was saying to you, then you could do it in faith. And then, no matter what comes against you, you've got something to hold on to. And that's the only way many times that we do make it in these endeavors of faith, is we've got to go back to what the Lord said. I mean, go back to where he got us started on this. I want you to go over here to the book of Hebrews. The Bible tells us, because I can preach real fast, spin my arms and spit cotton, like somebody said. And that's all good and fine. But in Bible school, it just seems like, you know, so many times I just slow down and just go to all the verses, because it just seems like, you know, it's just helpful that way. But did I say Hebrews 12? Verse number 1, it says, "Seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." There's a unique course for each one of our lives. Then he said this, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So notice Jesus is called the author and the finisher of our faith. What does that mean? That means everything that he wants you to do, every faith endeavor, he's the author of it. And the way he authors things, the way he assigns us to things, is by speaking to us. You know, inviting us to come out into something. Whenever God put Bible school in your heart, it was an invitation to come out into something. Yes. Amen. And that will be those you might call them invitations, those directions. How many of you know we can enter into what he invites us to walk over into in life or ministry, or we can reject them and do our own thing? So it's not, he doesn't demand that we do it. Now, we're going to give an account for whether we did it or not. But, you know, we're free moral agents, and we can accept or reject what he wants us to do. But what he'll do is he will invite us to come into something, and that invitation will bring us into the next phase of his plan for us if we obey it. I'm talking about if we obey it. And it takes faith to obey it, because sometimes our mind's just like, why would I do that? But, you know, he's authoring something in our lives. And but see, this is that little thing that I just described is going to be something that will be happening for the rest of your life. Because Hebrews, let's go to another passage of scripture over in the book of Romans, actually. And I'm trusting the Holy Ghost to put this all together, because there's like a whole bunch of stuff stirring around on the inside of me, but we're going to get it because we believe for utterance, right? Look at Romans 4, and let's go to verse 12. Abraham is who he's talking about. He's the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. The phrase I'm pulling out of this verse is walking in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Faith is not a big leap and you're there. Faith is taking steps. Faith is taking steps. I want you to get a hold of that. For the rest of your life, you're going to take faith steps. For the rest of my life, I have resigned myself, not that it's a penalty, but it's a great joy, but I have committed myself and resigned myself. The rest of my life, I'm walking by faith. For the rest of my life, whatever he says to do, I'm doing it. For the rest of my life, when I hear, I will obey. And I will take steps. Nothing is forever unless he says it's forever. And I will continually obey, and those steps will move me forward in God's plan. Remember when we were back there in Hebrews where it said, we run this race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. You can't run a race without taking steps. You can't run a race with your feet not moving. Amen, your legs got to move, your feet got to move. And so that's the way the rest of our lives are going to be. Our lives are to be a progression. They're to advance in God's plan. We should not be tomorrow and next week and next year. We should not be spiritually where we are now or in the plan of God at the same place we are now. We should be moving forward. And I'm telling you, every time we obey those steps, take those steps in faith, there's always increase. Something will increase. The anointing, revelation of God, our prosperity, whatever. Something is going to increase. Because the Bible said, the Lord said in Psalm 115, the Lord shall increase you more and more. Amen. That's infinite. Amen. Hallelujah. More and more. More and more. What does that mean? That means yesterday I looked at that verse and he said more and more. But if today I walked over from more into more, I can still look at that verse and it'll say more and more. It's not done. I'm to be increasing for the rest of my life. Increasing in revelation of His Word. Increasing in anointing. Increasing in favor. Increasing in prosperity. Strength in my body. Something and everything really is to be increasing constantly. From one degree to another degree. More and more. I like that. More and more. Infinite. Just keep on going. God really doesn't put a cap on any of us. Or a lid, you know what I mean? A ceiling. So, but what we're saying is that these steps, back here in Romans 4, verse 12, these steps of faith aren't always, they're not always things that our mind understands. Steps of faith are just that. They're steps of faith. Now, Hebrews 11, you can go over there. And notice, we're just taking some time to look at these verses. I don't sometimes take all this time, but let's look back Hebrews 11. Jesus is an example to us, but look back here at Abraham. Hebrews 11, let's go to verse number 8. I'm sorry, not Abraham. This is, Abraham. Verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. In verse number 8, it says he did this by faith. By faith, in other words, here's an element of our faith life that we have to understand and be okay with. And that is, some things that God directs us to do, we're not going to understand where it's going to lead to. We don't know for sure. Well, if I do that, what's going to happen? I've had steps of faith in my life like that a number of times. I mean, it's not always that our minds can figure out what God is doing in our lives. Whenever God moved me to pastoring, I did not understand what He was doing with me. Now I have further revelation. How many of you know you don't get further revelation sitting back in the boat waiting to understand everything? You got to get over into that part of what He's talking to you about, and then you'll understand more. I mean, now it was him taking us to pastor was wisdom beyond my mind, my intellect at the time. But see, it was God's wisdom in order to get us to the things He's leading us to. Hallelujah. So, but see, our minds, that I want you to see there, verse number 8 in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, you might want to underline that, by faith Abraham, and then it said, not knowing where he was going. He went out, not knowing where he went. In other words, his mind, not knowing, that's the mind. The mind doesn't always understand everything. That's why it requires faith to take the step. That's the way God is. I mean, you remember in Acts, the Bible talks about the light that struck Saul, his name was changed to Paul, the light struck him down on the road to Damascus. And you know, Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick it. What do you want me to do? He said, go into the city and it'll be told you what to do. That's all the Lord does. He gives you enough to take a step. Hallelujah. I remember one time, because that's what he said there, you go into the city and further revelation will be told. You'll get further revelation if you take this step. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the way we're going to live. Tell your neighbor, that's the way we're going to live for the rest of our lives. Amen. Not out of our head, out of our spirit, where he's talking to our spirits. Out of the leading of the Spirit. Out of the voice of God speaking to us. And so, before we launch into anything, like we said at the beginning, we need to make sure we've heard from God. Steps that are not led are uncertain steps. I'm talking about led of the Spirit. They're uncertain. Steps that are of the leading of the Spirit, if you'll stay in faith, it's certain. It's not something that will fail. I've done things on my own before, and I've had enough of that. Yeah, that's all I need. But sometimes you'll get to go in a certain direction, and you might say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, just start moving a little bit towards one direction and see what starts happening in your spirit. You'll start getting something's not right about that. Or I'm not talking about your head, because your head will go bonkers every single time you don't understand. I'm talking about down in your spirit. And so then you back up, and then you just maybe start going a little bit of different direction or something and see if that's right. Sometimes the reason, now here's something we need to understand. Sometimes the reason we're not getting any direction is because there is no direction except what he already said and what we're already doing. Lord, tell me what to do. I did. I said, go to Bible school, you know. Amen. I had that happen to me when I graduated from Rhema. All my friends in Rhema, they're telling me what they're going to do. I'm sure they were being led by the Spirit. I'm not criticizing them. But I'm simply saying, they kept saying, I'm going here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to pastor, I'm going to be a youth minister. And they're leaving, and rightly so. But I kept saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I kept thinking, Lord, maybe you want me to do this, you want me to do that. And he wouldn't say anything to me. I said, Lord, you're not saying anything to me. And he said, right. Stay right here. I was one of those that Rhema was telling to get out of town. You know what I'm talking about? When you graduate, get out of town. Here I am graduating, stayed in town. But see, it was by the leading of the Spirit. Really, God had a plan for us there. It was to get involved in healing school, and there were things he had planned. But see, I didn't know that at the time. And so, can you say amen? Understand what we're talking about. All right, let's come back here now to, you were there in Matthew in chapter number 14. Now go over to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8. And we'll read in verse 22 is the one I want to get to. Let's just read verse 22. Luke 8, verse number 22. It came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. He said unto them, he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Now this is a story about Jesus giving them direction again. It says, what stands out to me in this, the last four words in the verse, and they launched forth, were not before the direction, they were after they got direction. In other words, they didn't just presume to do, they didn't launch forth in something because, well, we got faith, so we're going to launch forth. No, they waited to hear from God to launch forth, or Jesus in this case, to launch forth. He said to them, go to the other side. Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And the other story was whenever he stayed back. This story was another situation where he was actually in the boat. And so he was in the boat. And you know the story about the storm raising up and so forth. It's a similar situation where a storm came up. And remember, they called and woke him up and said, you know, don't you care, we perish. He rebuked the wind and waves, says, where's your faith? Well, faith in what? Faith in his direction. Faith when he said, go to the other side. He didn't say, go to the bottom of the lake, glug, glug, glug. He said, go to the other side. Where's your faith? I said, we're going to the other side. So they didn't just launch forth out into any old faith or any old thing that came to their mind. You know, people today in the world, that's the way they're living. They're guessing and going. Pastor Nancy said one time, we don't live by guessing and going. We live by the spirit of seeing and knowing. And so just any old thing that comes to our mind is not good enough to walk by faith. You're presuming to do it rather than actually walking by faith. Now, a story that I like along this line, or a passage of scripture, I should say, back here in Hebrews chapter number 11, the great faith chapter, back here in verse number 28, it tells us through faith, that's not the right verse, let's see, where Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, actually. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Talking about Israel going through the Red Sea. How did they do that? They did that by faith. That somebody said by the instruction of the Lord, that's exactly right. And that's, you have to hear from God. Remember, God said to Moses, divide the sea, stretch out your rod, and the wind blew all night and blew back the waves. And then God said, go to the other side. They didn't just presume to go in down into the water because the way was opened. You got to get that. Well, there's an open door, Pastor. That's the Lord talking to me. Open doors are not God talking to you. I'm talking about open doors in the natural. They're not God talking to you. Now, God will open doors, but you'd ascertain within your own spirit whether it's Him that opened the door or whether it's just something that in the natural happened. You understand? But see, the way was open, but God spoke to them about going into the sea and going to the other side. That was their way of escape. Somebody said, well, if the door's open, then it's God. Well, I say all the time, the door's open to your local bar, but that doesn't mean God's saying go into it. You know? I mean, open doors and shut doors mean nothing to me. Nothing to me. What matters to me is whether God said something to me about that or not. I've had all kinds of opportunities. You know how many times I get invitations overseas every week? I get emails. I don't know how they get my name. I don't think a single one of them have been God so far. Amen. Open doors do not equal a leading of the Spirit. We're not led by, remember in the Old Testament, Gideon was led by a fleece. He said he put that fleece out in, that was sheep wool, what it was. If this is wet, and the wool's wet and the ground's dry, then I'll know you're leading me. Well, it happened, and he said, oh, that could have been a coincidence. Let's do the reverse. The wool's dry and the ground's wet. It happened. But see, that's Old Testament. They didn't have the leading of the Spirit on the inside. We don't go by fleeces. We don't go by open doors or closed doors. We go by the witness of the Spirit. Well, first of all, the Word of God. We're not trying to leave the Word out. But I'm talking about things that you don't have Scripture and verse for. Amen. We go by the inner witness. I found this about people in my congregation, many of them that young people I'm talking about that are looking for a spouse, believing God for a spouse. Most of the time, before the right one shows up, there's a counterfeit that shows up. Most of the time. I'm not saying every time, but a lot of times I've seen that. And that's just simply an opportunity to get married, all right. But it's not God just because a door opened up or somebody said, hey, I like you, You better watch that stuff anyway, Amen. So, but see, no, we don't follow those things. We follow the inner witness. We follow the inner witness. Now, you have to understand, God will open doors. But you'll know it in your spirit when it's God or not. Amen. So, it says here, we're in Hebrews 11. It says in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. They heard God speak to them about that. Now, notice what it goes on to say. Which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Woo, my goodness. Now, essaying means attempting or presuming to do. Why was Israel able to do it, but the Egyptians drowned? Because God told the Israelites to go through. He did not tell the Egyptians to go through. Let me give you an illustration. In Bible school, I remember in Rhema, this story went circled around. It was a famous story that there was a man and one of the students there in Bible school that God spoke to him to give away his car, and he obeyed and gave away his car, and he got a brand new car, and it was sowing and reaping. And one of the other students heard about that. You might have heard this story. They heard about it, and they said, "Well, I'm going to give my car away." They gave their car away and walked the rest of the year. Why did it work for one and not the other? God spoke to the first one to do it, and they could do it because they heard God. God didn't speak to the second one to do it. They only heard someone. They only were trying to copycat somebody else. You cannot take somebody else's calling. You cannot take somebody else's leading and make it a calling or a leading for yourself. It is, what did God say to you? What did He say to you? Very, very important. In this era, we've got to understand this and not get these things muddied and be excellent and accurate in what God's telling us to do, because this era is going to require it. This is not a sloppy era. People just being sloppy, bumping into each other's callings, getting in each other's way, trying to do what somebody else is called to do. This is an era of hearing what God told you to do and following that plan explicitly. Not being vague about it, not being, you know, confused about it, but being clear about it. Amen. In fact, you remember what it says in Ephesians? Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 5. It says something. This is the scripture we're so familiar with, that talks about, you know, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, and so forth. But there's a verse before that I want you to see here in Ephesians 5. It's very important. Let's go to verse number, I think it's verse number 17. I'm actually just going to read this in the Amplified. I mean, the ladies' version. That's called the Amplified. Okay, I'm sorry. I repent already, I'm sorry. But notice what it says here in verse number 17. This is the Amplified. It says, "Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is." Yes. Oh, my goodness. Do not be vague. Boy, there's a lot of vague Christians. What's God saying to you? If you can't tell anybody what He's saying, that means you don't know what He's saying. "Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is." Firmly grasping. Have a firm grasp on it. You know exactly what God's telling you to do. Now, you might not know all that He's going to have you do in the future. I don't mean that. But I mean, you know enough to be doing what you know. You know enough to do the right thing right now. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And somebody might say, "What are you going to do after this?" And you just say, "The Lord will tell me." Don't say, "I don't know." Say, "The Lord will show me." Because we sometimes get ourselves in trouble by walking around saying, "I don't know, I don't know, I don't know." The Bible says we have an unction and we know. Yes. Amen. So don't just be speaking unbelief all the time. Be speaking, the Lord's leading me, He's guiding me. I have an unction, I know. Amen. And your head will pipe up and say, "You don't know." And you say, "Shut up. I have an unction and I know." Yes. Down in here. Yes. See, it's a faith walk. Has it come to that again? Faith? Has it come to that? Amen. But I wanted you to see that. Don't be vague. Don't be witless, I believe it says in another place. Thoughtless, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. You can know the will of God to the minute detail. Down to the minute detail. Maybe not everything about the future, but for right now, you can know. Hallelujah. I'm absolutely amazed. There's a situation in my life about some direction that I'm absolutely amazed at, that for I think now two or so more years that I've been moving towards something. And just this past week for me and my wife was some major direction for some things. It was so glorious. I thank God for it. But But whenever that clear direction came, because we've been speaking, eyes of our understanding enlightened, the spirit of seeing and knowing, wisdom and revelation, and so forth and so on. And we've been claiming direction for some things. And whenever it finally got through to our understanding this past week, I was amazed that for about two plus years, I had put my own interpretation on something. I don't mean it was a major, we were off majorly, but just on something we were getting ready to do, that he had said some things about. I'm being vague here, not because I'm vague, but because I just don't want to tell you every detail. But I'm saying there's some things that we were launching into that we had put our own interpretation on what it meant, what he had said meant. And that is easy to do. And it takes a prayer life. Because you and I don't always have scripture and verse for every detail of what he's dealing with us about. It takes, now it's all going to be in line with the word, never violate any of the principles of the word, but it's going to be specific. The specifics are going to come to us by the Spirit of God in our spirits. And it's important to pray much in other tongues. And to keep an open mind. To not be, rule certain things out and say, well, I know it's not that. Oh, do you? I knew I would, years ago, I knew I would never pastor. And here we are. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, but do you see that in Hebrews 11, verse 29? Israel did it by faith. Egypt presumed to do it. And drowned in the same thing that was Israel's way of escape. Oh, I don't want that. I don't want to just presume on something because I'll end up being a failure just like Egypt. So I don't launch out into things. I'm learning more and more. Not just to launch out into things that I haven't got the direction of the Lord on. Launch out into faith projects just because something came to my mind. We need to ask the Lord if he's in something. Make sure that's him out there. You know what I mean by out there? That you're going toward. Whenever Peter was walking on the water, make sure that he was going toward Jesus. He wasn't just going towards, nothing out there. He had an invitation to come out. So make sure that's him out there that you're going toward, not just your own goals. People in our culture, they set goals and they say, I'm going to reach this by this time and I'm going to do it this way and I'm going to do this. Well, for us, The directions that we go are not something we plan. It's something that we discover. Amen. Yeah. Amen. It's not something we concoct. It's because plans have already been made for us. We have to understand that. Remember Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified? I know he talks about the plans, that taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time. Living the good life. You ever read that verse? Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified? There's plans that have been prepared ahead of time for us. There's paths that have been prepared ahead of time for us. And listen, using your faith for any other plan will be rough sledding. If you want your faith to work like something like a Model T hitting on all cylinders, just it's working, use it to operate in God's plan, not your own plan. I know of Christians that they're just using it for their own plan, trying to use their faith for their own plan, and it's a struggle. Everything's a struggle, struggle, struggle. God didn't say, Jesus didn't say in Matthew 11, he didn't say, my yoke is a struggle. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Things are supposed to be working for us. Hallelujah. And I mean just going from glory to glory. I don't mean Satan won't oppose us. We understand that. I'm simply saying we can take his head off when he pops it up and just walk right on over him. Amen. Someone asked Brother Hagin one time, what were the keys to the success of his ministry? Well, he said, number one, obviously, I base my ministry or build my ministry on the word. That's number one. That's obvious. But he said, number two, and I might be paraphrasing here, but basically he said, I don't do anything except the Lord lead me to. I don't just do things that the Lord's not in. And he would always quote Psalm 127, verse number 1. And if you write that down, I'll quote that. I think probably most of you know it. But it says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. You know, you can labor and build something, but the Lord's not in it. He said, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. He said, they are building something, but the Lord's not in it. You know what's going to look a lot different in heaven than does down here? I'll tell you what's going to look a lot different in heaven than does down here. Who's big shot and who's not? Hallelujah, Pastor Jay. That's good preaching. Amen. The biggest names down here may or may not be the biggest names in heaven. I'm not poo-pooing anybody with a big name. You understand? I'm just simply saying you can do all kinds of things to become big name in ministry. And the Lord could be in it. He might not be in it. You might get something built. You might have a big name. You might have a well-known, everybody knows you. But in heaven, you're a little shot. Amen. I better not go. I might not tell that story. Anyway, I'll be vague. Not because in my thinking I'm vague, just because I'm trying to keep from talking about. Anyway, there's a man in my church that is a brother to probably everybody. If I called his brother's name, everybody in here would know him. Or not, don't know him, but know of him, know who he is. But his brother's in my church. A guest minister that we had in, a precious lady minister, not Pastor Nancy, she's precious too, but I'm talking about somebody else. A lady minister that came in, didn't know him, didn't know what was going on about his family and everything, and ministered to him, called him out and ministered to him, said, "You're bigger in heaven than your brother."
Wow.
That was amazing. The whole church heard it and they're like, whoop, whoop, whoop. His brother's world famous. Amen. And he has been that man in our church. Hello. He's been a great blessing. In fact, he just gave the church $100,000. Hallelujah. Not that. Anyway, it's not about giving. That's not the point. But I'm anyway. Tell your neighbor anyway. You get the point. Amen. Hallelujah. So what you get out of this session, it's going to be different. Look different in heaven than it's going to look. Might look down here. Down here, you might not be well known, but in heaven, you're huge. You're prominent. In other words, you're well known and very effective in what God's called you to do. Amen. Well, where did that come from? I don't know. Somebody needed it. So, what's some of Brother Hagin's keys? He based his ministry on the Word. And number two, he didn't do things that the Lord wasn't in. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Now, let's go over to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter number 14. This passage, if you think about it, curl your toes. The older I get, and I'm not old, so don't take me wrong. Tell your neighbor, I'm confessing with Pastor Jay, he's not old. But the older I get, because I am older than I used to be, and much better looking, by the way. Anyway, I'm encouraging myself in the Lord. But the older I get, the more important some of the things I'm talking about are to me. In this passage in Numbers 14, it talks about, let's just start reading in chapter number 14, verse number 44. The verse says, "But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp." Now, I'll give you the context here. Remember, the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea had rebelled. Well, they said, "We can't." Remember, the spies came back and gave, 10 of them gave a bad report, said, "We can't, there's walled cities, there's giants, there's iron chariots, we can't take the cities and we can't take the land." And they brought up an evil report, you remember, and I just noticed when I was reading this the other day, I noticed that the Bible said those 10 spies that brought up an evil report, the Bible said they died before the plague. They had the plague broke out and all 10 of those guys died. But Joshua and Caleb didn't die. I knew that, I guess, in the past, but I forgot about that. I mean, when you mislead a large group of people like that, that's dangerous. Get them into unbelief. But anyway, I just noticed that the other day. But it says here that the context of this verse right here is the children of Israel rebelling at Kadesh Barnea, not going in and taking the land. And then God said, okay, you're going to live in the wilderness. All that generation is going to die off. They're going to be out there for 40 years, so forth and so on. And then the next generation will go in and possess it. And so they all went back after Moses pronounced that and said that to the whole rebellious bunch. They all went back home that night. They slept on it and thought it over and decided, okay, we'll go. We'll go. We'll go up and we'll go in and possess the land. And this group of people, you can read the whole story if you want to on your own time. This group of people came to Moses the next morning and said, we'll go now, we'll go. And Moses said, no, don't do it. And verse 41, you'll transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, and you be that you be not smitten before your enemies. And the Bible said in verse 44, they presumed to go up under the hilltop. In other words, they didn't have any direction. In fact, they had warning not to do it from a leader. They presumed to go up under the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. In other words, they lost the battle. Whoa! So they presumed to go into this battle. You see that? God had already said he wasn't in it. But they said, well, we're going to go anyway. They failed miserably. Isn't that right? Now, what does the word presumption mean? It means to take for granted that God's in something. Just take for granted God's in something. You know what I mean by that? Anticipating what God will say rather than waiting for what he actually has to say. Yay, yay, yay. Boy, have people done this. I'm not quite ready to release yet, but I will let release here in a few minutes. It's just a failure to get the mind of God on things and just launching into something without hearing from God. Now, there's things that God will leave up to you, minor things. You know, there's people that get into all sorts of excessive error with this, and they won't even come to church until they stand in their closet and hear God tell them which tie to put on. I'm not talking about stupidity. Tell your neighbor, that's stupidity. Amen. Which one do you like? I like this one this morning, so I put this one on. God didn't say a thing about it. Is that all right? We're not talking about stuff like that. We're talking about these directions in life that affect our lives majorly. This doesn't affect anything today, but tomorrow doesn't mean anything. So that's what this means. It means to presume that, or take for granted that God is in something, or anticipate what God is saying rather than waiting for him to actually say something. To launch into taking something by faith based on an assumption, but not something that is fully established by inquiring of the Lord. It means to take for granted that God's in something. Yeesh. Is it kind of curling your toes like it does mine? So you see this word presumption, it just means to assume. It's not okay to assume God's in something. Well, he was in it last time. That means nothing. That means nothing. There's a story over an account of David where he was fighting some battles, and the Bible says that there were two situations that were identical. One of them was the Amalekites coming and attacking him. one day, and another day they attacked the same direction. One day he inquired of the Lord what to do, and God said, go up and fight them. He went up and fought them and won. And then another group of Amalekites came another day, same direction, and he said, what shall I do? He didn't assume that because yesterday God said, go attack them, that today was to go attack them. He said, what shall I do? And God said, wait right here, and there's going to be a rustling over here in the mulberry bushes, and whenever you hear that, do this and do that, and then you'll win the battle. He inquired of the Lord and didn't, you know, presume that it was going to be the same direction as he got last time. Amen. So are you learning anything? This is important stuff. It's not okay to just, well, my dad's this, my dad does this, and so I'm going to do it. This is the career I'm going to take because, you know, this is what I like. What did God say? Amen. Well, these are where my talents are. So what? Amen. I'm a good landscaper, but that doesn't make me I'm not called to be, you know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of things that people do because of natural abilities. And listen, there are some things that would be okay with that as long as it's not pulling away from your assignment that God told you to do. Amen. God picks and uses some very unqualified people sometimes. Moses did not take an aptitude test to see if he should lead Israel. He stuttered. Yet he's going to be a spokesman for God. Amen. God used some very unqualified people. Boy, we're in good company. Amen. You're looking at me really funny. Hallelujah. But you need to know that as you are faithful to God and obey God and develop your faith, there will be things that God will invite you to come out into. Amen. He'll offer you things as a result. And because he's offering it, as a result, it's there for the taking. The Bible said that John the Baptist said about Jesus, a man can take nothing to himself unless it's given to him from heaven. You cannot enter into an office of ministry and be blessed there without heaven anointing you to be blessed there. Remember we said Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith? The Lord said to me one time, he said, if I authored it, I will authorize it. In other words, if I don't author it, you're not authorized to stand there, and you don't have my backing to succeed there. I know we're taking a lot of time with this, but it's important that we not just presume, okay, I'm going to have to Bible school, I'm going to do this. Well, what's the Lord saying? Is that coming because of a leading of the Spirit? If it is, great, fine. But if it's just you thinking, you know what I mean by just thinking? Well, I got it all figured out. Well, you're in for a surprise. I haven't been doing anything that I plan to do in my life. I don't know why you're different. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. God offered the children of Israel the land of Canaan, but he told them how to do it. And whenever they flunked that test, he said, all right, there's a penalty for that. And then they presumed to go take it apart from that. All right. Now, let me say, let's take a break and then we'll get into another aspect of this that I believe will bring some more light to it. So I guess the breaks are 10 minutes. We'll come back at, according to that clock, at 9:40. So we'll see you in a few minutes.